I don't know why. I always cry when I hear that song. No reason, I just cry.
Yeah?
Every year, they play it and I cry. No reason at all.
You got one this year, lady. Come on.
The story you've just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On March 28th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 93, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you. In the past few weeks, I've asked you to send me the names of cigarette dealers who are out of Fatimas. You see, the demand for Fatimas is so great that I want to make sure that all of you can buy them. So keep your letters coming. If you find a dealer fresh out of Fatimas, let me know and we'll have something done about it. Write your dealer's name and address on a card and mail it to me, Jack Webb, Post Office Box 951, Hollywood 28. That's Jack Webb, Post Office Box 951, Hollywood 28. Now for you, Mr. Dealer. The coming holiday season will find new thousands insisting on Fatima quality. So step up your order for Fatimas tomorrow. Get in on the increasing demand for the quality long cigarettes.
The remaining members of the Bunko gang were apprehended and brought to trial. All of them, including the gang leader, Elizabeth McGraw, were tried and convicted of grand theft. They are now serving their terms in the state penitentiary. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, portions transcribed from Los Angeles.
Coming up, We the People, then Screen Directors Playhouse on NBC.
To hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to robbery detail. You've been tracking a holdup man for months. You finally get a line on where he's hiding. You know he's dangerous, well armed. Your job, get him.
You'll be amazed when you compare Fatima with other long cigarettes.
You'll find they now cost the same. But in Fatima, the difference is quality.
You see, Fatima is the quality king-size cigarette because it contains the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos superbly blended. And Fatima is extra mild, with a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
So try comparing Fatima yourself. Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but your first puff will tell you...
Ah, that's different.
Yes, in Fatima, the difference is quality. Ask your dealer for Fatima, the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all long cigarettes. Start enjoying Fatima tomorrow.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, March 18th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Ed Walker. My name's Friday. It was 9:48 p.m. when I got to room 27A, robbery detail.
Joe?
Hi, you ready to go?
Yeah, we better hustle.
Here's your top coat, Joe.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Where's Tom?
We can pick him up down the hall. He's checking out some tear gas shells. Might need him.
How about the address? You confirm it?
2100 Buchanan Avenue. It's a corner house.
Skipper?
You know what to expect when you get out there. Don't take any chances.
He's alone in the house, is that right?
Supposed to be. Yeah, that won't give you much of a break.
How do you mean?
He's heavy on guns. Two revolvers and a hunting rifle.
Yeah.
He's not shy about using them. Don't forget it.
Right, Ed. Slash, Ben.
Let's go.
Okay.
It's been a long haul.
Yeah, I hope this washes it up.
Hunting rifle, couple of revolvers. What do you think, Joe?
Well, 18 robberies in 3 months. You know the guy as well as I do.
Yeah.
What's your guess? His name was Hoffman, George R. In our files, his criminal record dated back to high school days. Petty theft, grand theft auto, burglary, armed robbery. His record included 2 terms at Preston Reformatory and 1 at San Quentin. Hoffman's latest campaign was a 3-month run of armed robberies. We tried everything we knew to stop him, but it wasn't enough. We'd failed to get a line on him until one of Captain Walker's informants came up with a tip that Hoffman had been hiding out for the past month in a small bungalow on the corner of Buchanan Avenue and Selma Street. According to the information, the suspect had a good supply of food, ammunition, and 3 guns. 10:15 p.m., together with Sergeants Tom Gaffney and Slats Henry, Ben and I parked our car down the street and started toward the house. It was foggy, the street poorly lighted. As we approached the house, we could see a light burning in one of the rooms at the rear of the bungalow.
The light in the back room, Joe, just went out.
Yeah. Slats, yeah. You and Tom want to cover the back?
Right. Let's go, Tom.
Be careful.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Easy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe. Hmm? Curtains in that corner room. I thought I saw him move.
Come on, Ben, the front door.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, hit it again.
Yeah, all right.
Come on. They got it blocked or something. Something piled against it.
Come on, once more. Watch the furniture, Joe.
Yeah.
That front room's clear.
Joe! In the back!
Come on.
Went out the side window.
Where'd he go?
Across the street. Got him pinned down behind that car there. He's in the car.
All right, let's go for the tires. All right, Hoffman, give it up. Cover this end, Slats.
Right.
Ben, that hedge across the street, do you see it?
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's run for it. Come on.
You okay, Joe?
Yeah.
Hoffman, you haven't got a chance. Throw out your guns.
Okay, Ben, give it back, Joe.
All right! I'm coming out! Throw out your guns! Throw them in the street! Here they are!
Get out of the car, hands behind your head. Come on.
Uh-huh. All right, hands behind your back now.
Slats!
Yeah?
You want to get our car?
Right, Joe.
Who told you? Who gave you the tip?
Does it matter?
I made it easy enough for you. Lousy car wouldn't start. I'd be 3 miles away if it would have started.
Better call the tow truck, huh, Joe?
Let me give it a look, huh?
Lousy luck, that's all it is.
What was wrong with it, Joe?
I tried it. It wouldn't start for me.
You should have turned on the ignition. George Hoffman was taken downtown and booked on suspicion of robbery. At a special show-up, he was identified by more than a dozen of his robbery victims. Between his arraignments and his preliminary hearings, we worked together with the district attorney's office in lining up witnesses and preparing the evidence against the suspect. We figured we had an airtight case. Hoffman's trial in Superior Court was set for May 14th.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Slats. What's doing?
It's still raining, Hoffman?
Yeah, this trial's coming up. Hey.
Hmm?
What happened to your eye?
Yeah, how about that? I'll never live with that.
Yeah, come here, let's see.
Nicest real black eye I ever had. Had them bruised plenty. They hurt, you know?
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Well, every week, Gaffney and I go up to the neighborhood boys' club after work to help coach the kids at sports, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week we had boxing lessons.
Yeah.
I was coaching this one youngster. He turned out to be a lot quicker than I thought. You're really connected.
Mm-hmm. I guess everybody in the building's heard the story, huh?
Yeah, just about. Gaffney took care of that. Captain called me in this morning, asked me if I wanted to file assault charges against the kid. Some joke.
Mm-hmm. Never fails. You still coaching the kids up there?
No, not this week. Kids are supposed to get lessons in wrestling. I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah?
They've been watching television for months. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, nice,
Les.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Put your coat on, Joe.
Yeah? What's the matter?
George Hoffman.
Yeah?
Just broke jail.
The morning of his escape, Hoffman was scheduled to appear in Superior Court for arraignment. According to routine, he was taken from his county jail cell on the 12th floor of the Hall of Justice and escorted to the jail shower room on the 14th floor. There he was to take a bath, change to his civilian clothes for his appearance in court. While he was in the shower room, he turned on the hot water faucets, filling the room with steam to hide his actions from the guard. He succeeded in forcing his way out through one of the windows, climbed up one story to the roof. Realizing that he couldn't escape down through the building, he lowered himself over the ledge of the roof and, using the narrow crevices between the bricks to hold on, he climbed seven stories down the outside of the building. At the eighth floor, he found an open window and got inside. He slugged the bailiff, who tried to stop him, and then ran down the remaining flights of stairs into the street and disappeared in the crowd. 20 minutes later, he robbed a dentist's office at 3rd and Los Angeles streets and got away. Police and sheriff's deputies covered the city for him. Ben and I were among them. 11:55 p.m. We check back in with Captain Ed Walker.
KGPL, Los Angeles.
You want to cut that speaker, Ben?
Yeah.
11A, 6th and Spring, 1-1.
Nothing. Not a trace of him.
He must have a good friend someplace in town.
Everything's covered. His friends, relatives, his hideout, everyone he knows, every place he's ever been. We've plugged every loophole we can think of. The depots, terminals, the airports, still no trace of him.
I don't know. It sure is a strange one.
No stranger than climbing down the side of a building.
Did you check that story out, Ed?
It's the truth. Apparently, Hoffman planned the thing out pretty carefully.
Well, how do you mean?
The sheriff's men talked to some of the prisoners in the jail. They said Hoffman was practicing for it since the day we put him in there.
Yeah?
He'd work out 5 to 6 hours every night, building up his hands and fingers.
How'd he do that?
Use the upper bunk in his cell, hang from the edge of it with the tips of his fingers. He'd do it for hours, pulling his body up and down. Little grooves in the wall dug his fingertips into him. Prisoners say he got so he could hold himself up like that 10 minutes at a stretch.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. How about the bailiff he slugged?
He'll be all right. Couple of bad bumps on the head, that's all. Robbery, Walker. Oh, yeah, Little John. I sent him out about 10 minutes ago to relieve you. Yeah, they ought to be there pretty soon. Right.
How about our schedule, Ed?
As far as I know, we're going all night on this thing. Sheriff's office the same.
Mm-hmm.
You two were relieved at 11:30. Better check back about 5:30 a.m. Okay.
Right. That's a hot shot.
I got it. What is it? Drugstore holdup. I think it's Hoffman.
The scene of the holdup was the Rexlake Pharmacy on the corner of Pico Boulevard and Pine Lake Street. The victim, a Mr. Clarence Geringer, told us that the holdup man had entered through a rear door, slugged him, and escaped on foot with his overcoat and about $150 in cash. We showed him a number of mugshots. He identified George Hoffman as the bandit. A special detail of men were ordered on a thorough search of the general area around the drugstore. No sign of the suspect. The citywide dragnet continued all that night and into the next day. No developments. The search went on. A week passed. 2 weeks. At 10 p.m. on the day Hoffman was scheduled to be tried in Superior Court, he beat up and robbed a 40-year-old liquor salesman in the Highland Park area. Again, he made good his escape. Routine investigation failed to turn up a single lead. June 8th. The suspect was still at large. The legwork continued.
817, is that the address you got?
Yeah, he said it was near the corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. The Townsend Hobbs Shop.
Yeah, let's go in.
Mm-hmm. Joe, look at the electric trains. Look at that one. Beautiful layout, huh?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's all they handle in here, electric trains, huh? Must be money in it.
Look at those signals there and switches. They're all automatic. Wonder if my boy's old enough for a train yet.
It must be the manager over there. Come on.
Say, excuse me, sir.
Just a moment, please. Be right with you. You've got to check this transformer.
All right.
Uh-huh. Automatic coupling on the tanker car looked out of kilter. My mistake. No? Well, let's see. Yep, she's a dandy, isn't she?
Sure is.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Have to keep up our maintenance on the rolling stock. What can I do for you?
Police officers, we're looking for a Mr. Townsend.
Oh, yes, I'm Roy Townsend. Are you the sergeant I talked with on the phone?
Yes, sir, that's right. This is my partner, Sergeant Romero.
Hi, Mr. Townsend.
You mentioned that you might have some information for us.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I may have. About that fellow who climbed out and escaped, what was in all the papers?
George Hoffman.
Hoffman, that's it. I'm a pretty good one for faces. I think I might have seen him last night.
Where was that?
On my way home from the meeting. I belong to a model train club. Don't get enough of it here every day.
Yes, sir. We'd like to know about this man that you saw.
As I say, I saw him going into the auto court just down the street from where Mother and I live. It was pretty late, after midnight.
Where do you live, Mr. Townsend?
Over by Pasadena, Royal Oaks Avenue. I know Mrs. Cox at the auto court very well.
I see. Well, this man that you saw last night, you sure it was Hoffman?
I saw his picture in the paper when he climbed down and escaped. I don't say I'm positive it was him, but I'm good on faces.
Well, wonder if you'd mind checking through these pictures.
Mm-hmm. That was all. This one. He's the one I saw. Am I right?
That's Hoffman. Do you happen to know if he's staying there at that auto court?
Oh, yes. He's been there for a month. Say, Sergeant, if you find out it really is this Hoffman, don't tell Mrs. Cox at the auto court. It'll just break her heart.
Oh, is that so?
She's sort of an amateur detective. She thinks she knows faces better than I do.
After we left the train shop, we called the office and filled them in. Captain Walker called Pasadena and notified them. Then we drove out to the auto court where the suspect was reportedly seen.
Yes, you want something?
Yeah, are you Mrs. Cox?
Yes, I'm the manager here. If you want lodgings, we're filled up. You might try the Golden Eagle straight down the street there.
Police officers, Mrs. Cox, do you have a Mr. Hoffman staying here?
Hoffman? No, I don't. Got a Hoffmeyer, though. You sure that's not it?
Well, would you look at this picture, ma'am? Recognize
it? Yes, but his name's not Hoffman. It's Kane. Number 23. He's not in, though. Left this morning.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, won't be back for another hour.
You are listening to Dragnet, for the solution to actual case from official police files. Now, here's a real solution to many of your Christmas shopping problems.
If your friends smoke long cigarettes, give the best of long cigarettes. Give king-size Fatima.
You see, Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but in Fatima, the difference is quality.
Quality of tobaccos. The finest Turkish and domestic varieties, extra mild and superbly blended, to give smokers a much different, much better flavor and aroma than any other long cigarette.
Quality of manufacture. Smooth, plump cigarettes, rolled in the finest paper money can buy.
Quality, even to the appearance of the distinctive royal blue Fatima gift carton. Christmas wrapped and carefully sealed to ensure Fatima's rich, fresh, extra mild flavor.
Remember, Fatimas now cost the same as other long cigarettes, but in Fatima, the difference is quality.
So this Christmas, give your friends the best. Give Fatima the quality king-size cigarette. Best of all long cigarettes.
Before going on stakeout at the auto court where George Hoffman was registered, Ben put in a call to the office. The owner of the court, Mrs. Cox, gave us a pass key to cottage number 23 where the suspect was staying. We advised her to say nothing to Hoffman when he returned. We went to cottage 23 and waited. An hour passed. Hoffman failed to show. Another hour went by. Still no sign of him.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, you got me. I don't know.
More than an hour overdue. No chance it could have been tipped.
Well, I don't see how. Mrs. Cox is the only one who knows we're here.
There's no reason for her to warn him. I don't know. His things are all here. His clothes.
Well, we've had longer waits than this. Relax, huh?
Yeah. wait a minute.
Can you see who it is?
Man, coming from next door. Joe?
Okay, I'll cover you. Open it.
Oh, your new telephone directory?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Anything wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong, thanks. New phone book.
Yeah. We waited another hour. George Hoffman still had failed to appear. At 4 that afternoon, we checked with the office. No word. At 5:30, we were still waiting.
I was just thinking, Joe.
Yeah?
That fellow Townsend in the train shop. That sure must be a dandy hobby, electric train.
Yeah, it runs into money, though, doesn't it?
Well, I think I'll talk to the wife about it. Their education, you know. My boy sure get a kick out of having his own train.
He's pretty young, isn't he? 3 years old?
Well, I could show him how to work it, put things together for him. I'll get it.
All right.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, Lightner. When? Okay, thanks.
What's doing?
Skipper just got a call from Pasadena.
Yeah?
They picked up Hoffman 10 minutes ago.
The suspect, George Hoffman, was taken back to Los Angeles and lodged in county jail. This time, there was no escape. At his superior court trial on August 16th, he was convicted on several counts of armed robbery and sentenced to the state penitentiary. From August to January of the following year, the months went fast. We washed up a string of liquor store holdups just before Christmas, got 2 days off. My Uncle George and Aunt Allen came down from Renton, Washington to visit with my mother during the holidays. In January, Ben was off work for a week with a bad dose of flu. Another 5 months went by. Toward the end of June, we got word that George Hoffman was no longer at the state penitentiary. After serving 11 months, the former holdup man had been paroled into the Army with a provision that he serve overseas. Another 3 weeks passed. July 12th, Tuesday. Ben and I had lunch at Koken's Cafe and checked back in at the office.
I wish Koken would change his menus a little oftener. Fried beans and pastrami sandwiches seem to have the same thing every time.
Well, you sure dug into them. I got the idea that you'll like them.
Oh, like them all right. I just eat too much, that's all. 3 sandwiches, 2 plates of beans. No wonder I never eat dinner.
Ben? Joe?
Yeah.
Two back from lunch? I want to grab a sandwich.
Yeah, go ahead, Slats. We can cover.
Okay, thanks. Sure, there's somebody waiting in the next room for you. Wants to see you.
Okay, see you later.
Right.
Want to see who it is, Joe? I'll check the book.
Yeah, all right, fine. Yes, sir. My name's Friday. You want to see me?
Yeah, that's right, Sergeant. Remember me? George Hoffman?
Oh, yeah, Hoffman. The Army uniform there. I didn't recognize you.
Yeah, I thought it might fool you. I guess you heard about me. Good break, huh?
I'm glad you feel that way. How you doing with the Army, huh?
Pretty good. I like it.
That's fine.
Just thought I'd drop up and see you fellas. You still that partner you had? What's his name? Rodriguez?
Romero. Yeah, we still work together.
Yeah, Romero. I knew it was some kind of name like that.
Yeah, well, come on in, Hoffman.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, Ben. George Hoffman here. He stopped in to see us.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Been a long time, Hoffman. How are you?
Pretty good, Sergeant. Thanks. Just thought I'd stop by, you know, sure there's no hard feelings.
Oh, sure thing. You got any idea when you're going overseas?
Boys in my outfit figure day after tomorrow. That's kind of one reason why I dropped in to see you.
Well, how's that?
Well, I know it's pretty nervy, but I got lots of that. You see, a bunch of us are on leave till tomorrow noon. Figured we'd go out tonight, and I'm a little short. You know how the Army pays.
Okay, well... How about a couple of bucks, George? Will that do you any good?
Yeah. Sure as swell of you, Sergeant. Believe me, I'll see you get it back.
Well, here's a couple more, Hoffman. Might help out.
Well, it's no use telling you how much I appreciate it. I give you my word I won't forget it. I'm going to pay this money back to you.
Oh, forget it, George. We're glad to help you out.
Well, thanks again for the touch, huh? Sure nice of you.
Okay.
Now, drop a card if you get a chance. I'd like to hear how you're doing over there.
Sure thing. See you later, huh?
Right. Good luck, you boy. Looks like a turn for the better anyway, huh?
Mm-hmm. But it was my last $2, doggone it. It never failed.
Well, we had to give him something.
Yeah, but what do I do for lunch money tomorrow?
Two p.m., we drove out to the Wilshire District to interview a robbery victim. We brought him back downtown and took his statement. 4:30 p.m., we checked back in with Captain Walker.
Hi, Skipper.
Henry says that ex-con George Hoffman was in today.
Yeah.
You talked to him.
Yeah, that's right, Ed. Why?
Have a look.
Thanks.
The MPs left about 20 minutes ago.
Swell. Your $2 went for nothing, Ben. Hoffman's wanted.
Huh?
He broke out of Army prison 10 o'clock this morning. Together with the Army authorities, local officers joined in the citywide search for George Hoffman. At 10 o'clock that night, a food market on Santa Fe and Rialto was robbed and the proprietor beaten. From our mug shots, the victim identified Hoffman as the holdup man. Shortly after midnight, a drugstore on Crenshaw was set up. Hoffman was again tabbed as the suspect. The next 2 days, the search was intensified. No leads. 2 more days went by. Late Saturday morning, we got a hurry-up call from the detail on duty at the Union Station. Hoffman had been reported in the vicinity. Ben and I drove down to the depot to check with the officer in charge, Slats Henry.
Spot him, Joe?
No. Let's have a look back by the ticket counters, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there he is, over by the phone booth. Come on.
Hi, Slats.
Hi. Looks pretty good.
What's the story?
One of the newsboys up the street gave us a tip. About an hour ago, a guy gave him $1 to come down here and buy a ticket for him. A ticket to Phoenix.
Yeah?
Kid came in, bought the ticket, went back up the street and gave it to the man.
Mm-hmm.
We showed the kid a bunch of mug shots. He picked out Hoffman's.
Yeah, he's not wearing his Army uniform, huh?
No, brown suit, dark blue overcoat, no hat. That's what the kid told us.
Any idea which train he was taking for Phoenix?
Not exactly. He asked when the first train for Phoenix was. The newsboy told him 3:35.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes to 12 now. You got enough men to handle it, Slats?
Everything's covered. Only one thing lacking.
Yeah?
Hoffman.
While the stakeout continued on the Union Station, Ben and I, together with Gaffney and Henry from robbery, covered the bars, restaurants, and hotels in the immediate area for a sign of the suspect. 2:30 p.m.
What do you think?
We better head back down for the station, see what's doing, huh?
Yeah, okay. I'd like to have a dime for every mile we've logged on this case.
Yeah.
Yo.
Hmm?
Have a look.
Where?
Across the street, dark blue overcoat. Same build as Hoffman.
I'll bet on him. Come on.
He spotted us.
Yeah, that's Hoffman. Come on. Pick it up.
I lost him, Joe. Where'd he go?
Turn down First Street. Come on, hurry.
Yeah.
Across the street, Ben.
Yeah.
Lots of traffic. Where'd he go?
I see him. That antique store on the corner. He ran in there.
Come on. Yeah. There he is.
All right, Hoffman.
Out of the way, mister.
All right, hold it right there, Hoffman.
I'm coming out. Move.
Watch it, Joe.
I said I'm coming out. You hear me?
You're going the hard way, George.
Come on, drop it. Drop it.
All right, on your feet.
Come on, get up.
Now get your hands behind you.
Sure. What good's it gonna do you?
All right, mister, let's go.
What good's it gonna do? I already proved it. I can break jail any time. I proved it twice.
You're going right back in again. What's that prove?
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On October 8th, trial was held.